1027 Breakfast.
It's a Thursday morning. As you know, every Thursday morning we have Reverend Shona come into the studio, and she's here this morning. Good morning, Shona. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thanks. And you?
I see. I'm fine, thank you. I see you're in your jumper. It's a bit cold out there.
A little chilly.
It is.
I think even for me.
I think winter has arrived. I mean, Simon was saying yesterday we went from summer literally to winter within hours.
That's true.
Yeah. This morning, what are we talking about?
Well, I thought I need to talk about Pope Francis.
Yes. Passing away on Easter Monday.
On Easter Monday, a very significant day in the Christian faith. Here was a man who was dedicated to the upliftment of the poor. He had an inclusive theology, evident in not just what he said, but what he did. And the one thing that really struck me was when he washed and kissed the feet of prisoners, male and female and non-Christians. That was a very unusual thing for a pope to do. He was a voice of reason in this world that's very uncertain. And he died, I think, was significant in a jubilee year, one he'd called a year of hope. And I think he brought hope to many people. I think we all know he died at the age of 88, and he was the first Latin American and Jesuit pontiff. I think Bunny told you that.
Yeah.
He was also the first to choose the name Francis. And through that, I think he was announcing to the world his dedication to working with the poor and society's outcasts. Since he was elected, I found myself reading a lot of his homilies, and I learned a great deal from his wisdom. So while he was an intellectual, I found his passion was for people, and some of what he wrote was profound in its simplicity. For example, he wrote that rivers don't drink their own water, trees don't eat their own fruit, the sun doesn't shine on itself, and flowers don't spread the fragrance for themselves. And he said, living for others is the rule of nature. We're born to help each other. And I think that's the first point I want to make, is that he's completely stressed all the time how we're here for each other, not just for ourselves. And it's echoed in other writings that are attributed to him. There was one that they say he was written by him. So apparently, after he'd been in hospital, apparently he wrote that the walls of the hospital have heard more honest prayers than churches. As someone who spends a lot of time in hospitals with sick people, I would agree to that. He said they've witnessed far more sincere kisses than in airports. And I think when people are ill, that's when you see genuine emotion.
Yeah, you're right.
He spoke about how illness was a great leveler, where rich and poor meet and people are cared for by those that out in the world they actually persecute or hate. But suddenly they're in their care and under their authority in a way. He spoke about where prisoners and police officers receive the same care. And he said that in these moments when hospital touches the wounds of people, different worlds intersect according to divine design. And in this communion of destinies, we realize that alone we are nothing. So again, for me, this underlying message is how we need each other, how we're all one, and how we need to stop judging each other and be one, actually respect other people. As we all know, he made that final public appearance on Easter Sunday.
I know. I mean, remarkable. I mean, working on Sunday and passing away on Monday.
Monday morning.
Dedicated to you know, to
working till the last minute.
Absolutely.
So an incredible work ethic. Even though he was actually told to take 3 months off, he still continued to work. Wow. And he got the Archbishop to read a message. And again, in this message, we see a message of unity and peace. It is online if you want to read the whole thing. I'm not going to read the whole message now. But for me, it emphasizes his passion for hope and peace. He wrote, "What a great thirst for death, for killing we witness each day in many conflicts raging in different parts of the world." We only have to watch one of the news channels to see that. How much violence we see. He spoke about how that violence is often in families and how much contempt is stirred up towards other people, the vulnerable, the marginalized, and migrants. But he said, "On this day, I would like us all to have a hope anew and revive our trust in others, including those who are different from ourselves, who come from distant lands, bringing unfamiliar customs, ways of life, and ideas. For we're all children of God. I would like to renew our hope that peace is possible." And I do think peace is possible, but I think, again, it begins with us. So he spoke about this peace, this hope, trust, caring for others, knowing that we're not alone, that we actually need each other, that we should be living for each other. And I think that it's important for us to realize that that peace begins with us. He also spoke about how we shouldn't fear old age and death, and that's a topic for another day. I'm not going to go into it now. But he said we need to see eternal life as a new beginning and be excited by it. But I think as we remember this remarkable man who spoke for those who had no voice, I want to end with one final quote. "Life is good when you're happy, but much better when others are happy because of you."
Oh, wow.
And so I hope you have a day making other people happy. and being a channel of peace and love and grace to others.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll start by trying to make people happy here. Is that
and
a
you
good
do.
Place?
Okay. A very good place.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming in this morning. Reverend Jonah here every single Thursday morning around about this time. And, of course, she'll be on our socials from 9 o'clock. And she's got her own show for half an hour on Sunday between 6 and 6.30 here on Heart 102.7. Have a lovely day, Jonah.
Thank you.
Hot 102.7 Breakfast with Airlink.
Wake the fun up with Parky, Bunny, and Simon.
Fly Airlink, connecting Southern Africa.